Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Hour number two of the program. We welcome your calls at 412-928-9370. That's also the number of the fan text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters Township. Visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. Our show is brought to you by PNC Bank. Go out and check out their new virtual wallet. It is outstanding and makes your financial life very simple to navigate. Also, number one, Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Come ride in style with number one, Cochrane. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Beautiful place to watch games all day long. Great bars, fire pits. They got it all, and outstanding food. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting. Nightly sports call, 7 nights a week, right here on 93.7 The Fan, as well as KDKA Plus, which is formerly CBS CW. So changing names and everything else, but we got a lot to get into today, and this remains the same. We want to hear from you at 412-928-9370. Pitt, West Virginia tonight. We'll talk about that. How important is this game to both sides? I think it's more important to West Virginia, quite frankly, right now, the way they feel and the way Neil Brown is being kind of on the hottest of seats in college football. But Pitt can't afford a loss here either. They are taking on North Carolina next week. This is a non-conference game, so it won't necessarily affect where they are. But from a bragging rights point of view, this is one you always want to get. Colorado be home tonight against Colorado State, as Deion Sanders has captured that entire college football landscape by storm. They're huge favorites, and they'll probably run up the score, given what Jay Norvell said this week when he talked about Deion Sanders not removing his sunglasses and hat when he talks to people. Of all the things, you're going to die on that hill? Come on. 412-928-9370. There's been a big controversy in the NFL about natural grass versus turf. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to get it. Listen, if that's a non-contact injury because clearly there's a seam in the turf and it caused him to tangle up his leg, that's one thing. He was being pressured. He went down, and you saw the thing pop. I don't know that this had anything to do with the surface, although I understand why players want natural grass versus artificial surface, and the NFLPA is going to pound this one for quite some time. Steelers and Browns, Chubb, can they reduce Mr. Chubb? Can they take care of business there on offense and get things rolling in a positive direction? A very important game for week 2 of the season, given what happened in week 1. 412-928-9370, we've got George in Derry. Hey, George, what's going on?
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
I seem to recall, didn't Cleveland acquire an all-pro defensive lineman from Minnesota?
Za'Darius Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been good. You know, they've always tried to complement Myles Garrett with somebody. Jadeveon Clowney was that guy. He's now in Baltimore, but now they bring in Smith, and he's a pretty good player for sure.
Well, that's the thing. So if they plug the run, Pittsburgh's going to be pretty much
First of all, I don't know that they have to come out and try to establish the run. What they want to establish is a rhythm. I seem to think that sometimes, and they never seem to do this, but I would come out and just do something different. Up-tempo, move it along, get Cleveland in a position where they're not necessarily expecting and limit their changes defensively. Whatever the case may be, I would do something different here to start this game. It can't be the same sort of starts that we've seen time and time again.
It seems like they've been emphasizing the return to that pound and ground.
Yeah, but they ran the ball 10 times last week, I think. I mean, they didn't do anything because they couldn't get a first down. And I think sometimes, again, they against that team, you got to mix it up and do some things. And they have playmakers now. They have good playmakers. I think they got to utilize them and throw the ball. And if it doesn't work, don't be afraid to throw it again.
My question, would you put Cleveland's defense on a par with San Francisco's?
I think San Francisco's is the best. I think Cleveland's good, but I think San Francisco's is better.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, thanks a lot for clarifying. Have a great day.
All right, George, you do the same. 412-928-9370. Dave in Banksville has been waiting for quite some time. Dave, thanks for your patience. What's up?
How you doing, Bob?
Good. Thanks. How are you?
First thing, congratulations on your new addition, your family.
Yeah, Selena Mack had a little baby boy, Sonny. That was great. And everybody's doing well, knock on wood.
Okay. What I wanted to talk about was the pick quarterback. I know it's only been two games, but he doesn't seem to have the footwork and the ability to be a top quarterback in college football. And does it hurt Pitt's recruiting to keep bringing these fifth-year players in transfer to play the position?
Well, it doesn't hurt if they're good. Slovis didn't work out, and now you got Djurkovic in 2 weeks. You know, I expected more from him just because he'd been at Notre Dame where it didn't work out. He goes to BC, had run really good year at BC. Then he took a step back. He has an offensive coordinator he's comfortable with, so I would expect, you know, things to move forward here. He should be farther along in year six than this, I thought.
Well, he just doesn't seem to be athletic enough.
He's a little slower than I recall at Pine Richland. For some reason, I know 6 years, things happen. But, you know, listen, here's an interesting question, Dave. If they struggle early, I think Christian Veyer is going to get in this game. I don't think they can afford to just continue to ride with Phil Djurkovic if the results aren't what they need. They brought this kid in. He's another transfer from Penn State. And so I wouldn't hesitate if things get bad.
Okay, well, go Pitt and go Illinois.
Yeah, they're 14.5-point underdogs. They're taking on Penn State right now. We'll see what happens in that game. But I like 14.5 points. I'll take Illinois with that point, even though I think Penn State will win this game. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. And best of health to you, Dave. Let's go out to the counselor in the car. Hey, counselor, what's up?
Sorry, Bob. I was sorry. Bad connections. Listen, a couple comments. One, you know, I don't get Derek Shelton. But then again, I'm not a manager either. He puts Alika Williams in the last couple of games as leading defensive replacement. And you could see how shaken up G1 Bay was over that line drive that hit the pitcher in the side of the head. I don't get it. He doesn't do that. Yes, Bay's supposed to make that play, but I think where his emotional stability was bad at that point. Okay, and so I don't understand when you have better defensive, even if you didn't like Alika Williams, move Jared Triolo in at second and leave Pagaro at short.
Well, here's a question moving forward that I have is where is G1 Bay on this team? What role does he have? Because he's not going to be in the outfield. And quite frankly, he shouldn't be on your starting infield. So is he a bench player only? Is a guy? Because I can't, unless they move some people around, where does he play?
Now, I don't know either. I mean, he's more like a utility guy, for lack of a better
term. Well, they have a lot of guys who fit that role, you know, and that's nice to have utility guys, but you got to have more than just that. You got to have some people that you count on. I think it's important for them to go out and get some real-time, big-time starting pitching. Somebody who has a big history. Pay for it, add him to Keller and add him to Skeens eventually, and that's a pretty good 1-2-3, whoever that person is. And then you better hope guys like Contreras and Ortiz and Oviedo are consistently good at being 4-5 pitchers.
Yeah, well, I agree with you on that, but unfortunately,
anyway,
I don't see that payroll. I don't see that payroll jumping up to 100 even million next year, but that's me.
Well, it should.
Based on nutting.
Thanks, counselor.
The other thing is, I hope they can try and work on a long-term deal for Mitch Keller. You know.
Yeah, I mean, he had that middle of the after the All-Star break where he just totally fell apart there, and people were wondering. I think he's redeemed himself there, and if they can come up with a deal, that would be great. He's 28 years old. A lot of these guys get into their prime at that point. Thank you, Counselor, for the call. 412-928-9370. Sam in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania, the home of Heinz Field, is next. What's up, Sam?
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the Steelers and Pitt real quick. I think the offense for Steelers, I think they're going to be all right. I think they rebound. You know, the night is darkest just before the dawn. So I think they're going to get better. As far as Pitt, I agree with you. You were talking to that gentleman before the break about running the ball. You get the ball at Cincinnati's 40-yard line with 6 minutes left and a chance to take the lead. You know, you gotta incorporate the run there. You can't just throw the ball 30 yards downfield and expect that to get you through and get you to win the game, especially after you've done it for five straight drives, you know?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I look at this game and I can't, you know, I hate using importance like people use must. I was looking at statistics the other day, when they start 0-2, any team that starts 0-2 and the likelihood they get to the postseason, do you know what the percentage of teams that do that?
I don't think
Take a guess. No, it's 11%. And that doesn't mean it can't be done, because it has been done, but it makes it real difficult to get it done. If you keep digging holes for yourself, you're going to have a hard time, because you got to just go on a run, and there's no guarantee with injuries that occur in this sport, how frequently they occur, that you're going to be able to do that.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, I think both Pitt and the Steelers, they got to change it up on offense a little bit. They can't get so predictable as they've gotten throughout the years.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I expect the Steeler offense to come out and do something different. I really do. Thanks, Sam. Appreciate that. If they don't, I'd be disappointed. And I expect Kenny Pickett. You know, people are going to point the finger all the time at the play calling. That's fine, but the quarterback has to execute it too. And he was not very good in that game at 412-928-9370. Let's go to Joe in Brentwood. Joe, welcome to the program. Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hey, Bob. I played high school football, and I played for about 4 years and played some college ball. We were always taught that to establish the pass, you have to establish a run first. This, you have the surprise element that comes off the run. It seemed like by last week when they played, they tried to pass the ball from the very beginning, and that didn't work. And then they shut the run down, and then they also after that shut the pass down.
Well, listen, play action still works. I get it. There are teams that run the ball a lot. Look at the Philadelphia – well, just look at the Cleveland Browns, for example. It can work if you do it, but you don't have to necessarily commit to the game plan every week that way. There are ways you can use the pass to set up the run. So when I saw Philadelphia play this past week, man, they just run – I don't know how DeAndre Swift was let go by Detroit. I know they drafted a running back high and everything else, but, man, that kid's good. He was in Georgia. And he goes in there and rushes for 175 yards. But they have a monster offensive line. They believe in that line.
Right.
And Jalen Hurts is effective because they do run the ball. So that's a prime example of something that can happen there. But in the Steelers' case, they got some weapons on offense. They can't just immediately come up with the same predictable play calling. They do scheme the first several plays, so let's scheme better.
Right. You have Najee Harris and Warren. And then maybe every once in a while you have an end around. And it seems to me that, you know, if you go from pass play to running, they have to key on you and shut the – if they shut the pass play down, which is what happened last week, Pickett could not complete a pass because they, you know, it seemed like that was basically what happened. So,
all right, man. Thanks for the call, Joe. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. Jim in Monroeville hits us up right now on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Jim.
Thank you for taking my call, Bob. I'm worried. I'm worried about this Sunday versus the Browns. I'm not going to bash Canada because I feel that guy's had enough bashing. I'm not high on Canada, but this is about Kenny Pickett. You know, the rumors were shot down last week that he didn't suffer a concussion on that first drive. I'm not a doctor. I don't know, but I'll say this. He smacked his head off that ground pretty hard, and those passes he threw that game just seemed off. And the one criticism I had of Kenny Pickett in college was the throws he threw in college. I mean, you knew from watching those games, those are throws you are not going to be able to make in the NFL. You're going to see interceptions, and that's what we've seen so far. So if I rule out the possibility of a concussion last week, then all I have to go by is how he played. And I know the offensive coordinator plays a huge part in how an offense goes, but as you said, the quarterback has to execute. I'm sorry. I don't know what he was looking at. I mean, these passes from last week, I mean, you know, it's the 49ers. You know, that I think that the next best team besides the Eagles and the NFC, they're definitely a Super Bowl contender. So, you know, there's that. You know, it's a great defense. But, man, I'll tell you, he looked like a rookie, you know, in his first game. That's what he looked like to me, and I'm concerned because I don't know if this is something that can be fixed or if it can be fixed. I don't know if Matt Canada is the guy to make that problem go away. And, you know, I just want your opinion. Is this really come down to the quarterback, or is it really come down to the offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, being able to adjust to the quarterback to make sure that the quarterback understands what he's supposed to do?
Jim, I will say this to you. They, meaning those two, Canada and Pickett, spent a lot of time in this offseason and apparently have a very good working relationship. And Kenny Pickett, according to some people who know the situation better than I do, tells Matt Canada what plays he likes, what he's comfortable with, which is a good communication to have.
Right.
So in this game, to me, it was all on Kenny Pickett. To me, he was just off his game to the point where it cost them. I'm not going to – it's hard for me to judge play calling when I see only 9 plays in the first quarter, when I see no first down. I mean, you got to make some plays to get some rhythm going. So in this case, I think it was all on the quarterback. Now, can he recover? Sure he can. He's a mature kid. I think he's a very competitive kid. I know he works his butt off. I would expect that tomorrow night or Monday night. If that happens, you'll see him much better. And his, you know, his strength has been accuracy. All the way through the end of last year when they went on their 7-2 run, fourth quarter when he had to, he put the ball on the money. In the preseason, he did. Not that that matters as much. But this game was way off in terms of accuracy, decision-making, and execution, and comfort in the pocket. He didn't seem to have it. And so we'll see what that means moving forward. But it is a problem, and it has to get solved quickly because they need to score. They don't score a lot of points as an offense. They need to. They got to make it easier on their defense. If you can't score in the 24-point-per-game average, you're not going to be very good in the NFL, I don't think.
I agree, Bob. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, man. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Harry, hang on. Cody, hang on. We have 3 lines still open, so call 412-928-9370 if you'd like to talk some sports here, whether that's the Steelers and Cleveland, whether it's Pitt, West Virginia, whether it's Penn State, Illinois. That game's underway. Illinois drove down the field and missed a field goal, so it's still scoreless right there. We'll talk about that. Anything else is fair game. 412-928-9370. Brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Check out Virtual Wallet number 1 Cochrane, right in style with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Also, Iron Rock Tap House. You want a great place to watch games today on a beautiful day like this? It's right next to the live casino in Greensburg. Check out Iron Rock Tap House. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman, as well as Ireland Contracting. They provide us the nightly sports call every single night of the week on KDK Plus. So, we got a lot of people on the lines. Want to talk about a guy I think is going to have a big Monday night is Allen Robinson. At least I would target him and make him somebody in the middle of the field that could help me out. He's a veteran. He's healthy. He seems to be that guy if they look for him. Especially in the middle of the field. They still don't attack that enough for my liking. Harry in Harmony joins us right now on the Fan Hotline, which is brought to you by Nemacolin. What's up, Harry?
Hello, Pomp. It's always a pleasure to talk sports with you on a Saturday afternoon.
Appreciate that.
Hey, I wanted to just backtrack a little bit and talk Buccos. You know, last night, again, was another example, and I've called in the past about Shelton's lack of game feel. Oviedo struggled through those first 3 innings, but he got through it. And then in the fourth, he has like a 7-pitch inning. And then they pull him just as it seems like he's maybe figuring it out. And the guy who comes in walks 2 people, lets up the tying run, and they kind of fall apart again. And then at the end of the game, again, you know, Shelton typically will make these, you know, it seems like his moves have no rhyme or reason. Last night was a perfect example where he could have made the defensive substitutions that we've seen him do. He doesn't do it. It comes back to hurt him. Earlier on, he keeps Quinn Priester in too long and lets him rot. Now Oviedo gets pulled out. The lineup is never the same. Guys are never in the same spot. You know, it's like he lacks the game feel, and it just really concerns me about, you know, we're supposed to be excited about this youthful team next year. And, you know, it almost seems that he doesn't know what to do with these guys, and I'm afraid that it's gonna be a detriment to the to the success of the team if there's ever a chance of it.
There's a thousand decisions you can go back and forth on. The one that really kind of I was surprised at the other day was removing Keller at 90 pitches after eight really terrific innings. There was no reason to do it. He's been out there longer for that. He didn't show any signs of wear and tear, and they had to use Bednar that night. I didn't see the need for that, to be honest. And you're right. Some of these, you know, the lineups change a lot. And at some point, like I watch the Atlanta Braves, not that I'm comparing them, but every single night it's the same exact lineup. Guys get to figure out where they are. Now, maybe they just don't have enough regular contributors and they have to move them around to protect them from certain things. But I think it's hard to do when you don't have the weapons, and I still think they need more of them. But I thought last night, for example, I thought Colin Majinski I would have started him in the ninth inning. If you're not going to use Bednar, you know, Holderman has had his ups and downs. I would have kept the guy who looked pretty good to me. And again, I analytics come into play. I'd rather go by what I feel. Feel has got to be still a part of any sport. If you don't have that and you're relying solely on numbers, I have a hard time with that. Pitch counts don't make sense to me. If you're injured, that's one thing. If you come back like they got Skeens in, you know, they were going to give him an inning here and an inning. I get that. He hadn't pitched in 3 months or whatever it was. You know, but this pitch count stuff now, this late in the season, I think is irrelevant. That's just me.
And, you know, when it goes back to the position players, you know, Adam Frazier, you know, when we finally settled down and put him just at second base, 155 games, is when he really became a great player. Key Brian Hayes is the only guy on our team that you keep in one spot all the time. Everybody else is a revolving door. They're never going to learn the position.
Gotcha. Thanks for the call, Harry. Appreciate that. Let's go out to Weirton, West Virginia. We have Vince on the line down there. What's up, Vince?
Big Bob, how you doing today, buddy?
Good. How are you today?
Well, I'm calling. I'm a longtime Pitt fan, and I think Big Phil is going to have a great game today. Hopefully, I know when he was in high school, the backyard brawl was tormented. Oh, boy, this game has to really pick up the pace, and, you know, he's got to deliver. I lived out of Notre Dame for 20-some years. You know, they put a lot of expectations on their quarterbacks. You know, he didn't cut the bacon out there. He moved on to Boston College. Yes, he had one great year. But here, if Narduzzi remains a hardhead and this guy comes out in the first half and they have a lackluster offense, he is going to take the heat as much as Phil.
No, I agree with that.
I love Randy Bates. I thought Randy Bates made the adjustments to get Pitt positioned to have a chance to win that game last week. But, you know, Pat, I think he's a great football guy, but you know what? I think he's too much of a control freak. He's got to change his approach. And I'm telling you, this game is to me, it's a signature game for Phil more than it is for Pitt.
Well, I think I would say both. You know, you don't want to lose this game. And thanks for the call, Vince. I think when you look at West Virginia, I would call it their signature game. Their best of they got to win this game. Neil Brown is on the hottest of seats. If he can't win this game, then you know, regardless, they're not going to do well in their conference. I don't think. But I think they have the kind of offensive line and run game that can give Pitt fits. And I would take advantage of that. I would try that. I would try to pound that thing down Pitt's throat. Pitt should do the same at times and rely on Rodney Hammond. I think he's one of their better players, and he doesn't get enough takes and carries for me. Rich in Forest Hills joins us right now on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Bob. I like to be an original in my thoughts, but at least I'll be consistent by jumping on the bandwagon. It's another week with reasons to have another Saturday rant about coaching in Pittsburgh. You know, my secondary point is, you know, Tomlin had about 20 weeks to game plan for this. Not surprisingly, San Francisco won. A moral victory would have been great here. You wouldn't have had a quarterback with looking over his shoulder after 1 week and a running back who wonders if he's going to have his fifth-year option. But the real reason I called is, you know, this Shelton, I am strongly in favor of getting rid of this guy. I agree with that earlier caller and what you said earlier. You know, you put your best defensive team out to the ninth if you don't have your closer, especially. You know, we traded a guy that's likely to get Cy Young votes for another banjo-hitting middle infielder that's supposed to have a good glove, and he's sitting on the bench in the ninth inning. What's he going to do? Is he going to pinch hit for you in extra innings? What's the value of not playing him? You know, I guarantee you Craig Counsell would have made moves like that. And I'll tell you something. In my opinion, a great manager makes moves that win you an extra 10 games a year. If they win 10% of the time by making moves, or one out of 16 games or something like that. If I were Charrington, and I'm not, and he won't, I would make Craig Counsell the biggest acquisition of the offseason. This team has
Craig Counsell,
young talent.
Craig Counsell is currently employed. What are you going to do?
His contract is up, and he has said to Milwaukee management, we'll talk in the offseason about a contract extension, okay? At any rate, if it's not Craig Counsell, it needs to be a real manager. This Shelton, there's nothing. You never hear in a week somebody call and say what a genius move he did.
Well,
his moves are
I understand your frustration, Rich, and I'm up against the break, so I got to run to it. But I think mostly I'm just not a fan of removing guys without legitimate reason to move them. There is a designated hitter. You never get to a pinch hit situation with this. Certain moves make me wonder about what the bottom line is. And again, I'll look at Keller as my biggest example this week. I'll look at last night and say there was no need to get to Colin Holderman in the ninth inning unless Majinski ran into some trouble there. That's just the way I looked at it. And everybody has a different view on this stuff. But you're right. You have defensive guys you've used in certain positions, and then you don't bring them in. It hurts in that situation. But they're not going to make a move there. In fact, I think it's fairly complete that everybody on the coaching staff is coming back. This is where I disagree. I would make pressure to remove certain guys on that coaching staff and make better. You got to get better development guys, whoever they may be. Go to the organizations that have good track records in that and bring those guys in. We're due for a break. We got a lot of people on the line, so I'll take it now. And when we come back, we'll get to those calls. 412-928-9370. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show. We are live every Saturday from 11 to 1 on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, we're back. Let's get some rapid fire here. As I said, we got a lot of people on the lines. Dan and Denora, you're first. Make it quick, please.
Did you see that Bell Vern shut out Penn Trafford Friday night?
I saw it. What does it mean? Because I didn't see the game. I just saw the score.
Big win for a small school. They're a lot smaller than Penn Trafford. Anyways, they won the state championship last year, and I wanted to just tell everybody that there's a lot of good high school football to be watched around here, that's for sure. Other quick point, let's give Dave Parker his flowers now before he passes away.
Yeah, I agree. They should – thanks, Dan, for the call. There are guys I feel about that a lot. And sometimes you have to just waive certain requirements just so that they can enjoy situations like that. I felt the same about Dick Groat, you know, getting into the Hall of Fame posthumously. And you know, there are times to do it, and you need to change some of the rules. And I think that's only prudent. I saw up in New England that they're going to allow Brady into their so-called Ring of Honor. They had a 5-year wait period normally. Why wait? Do it. I agree. Dave in Uniontown. Go ahead, Dave. How are you?
Hello, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Hey, do you think Tomlin has anything to do with calling the offensive plays?
I don't think he calls the offensive plays, but I think he obviously oversees what goes on, and the philosophy that they have on offense, certainly he has to endorse, yes. But I think Matt Canada still calls the plays.
You think he could override Canada?
Oh, sure he could. He could override anyone. He does that on defense. He can do anything. He's the man in charge, sure.
Yeah, well, why is Canada taking all the heat then?
Well, he hired Matt Canada. You're right. It should be, and he's in his third year, but it's because he is the offensive coordinator, and guys in that role are going to be criticized all the time. And head coaches will ultimately, if it doesn't work, have to make changes there to their own staff. If they do it here, and again, it's so early. We'll wait and see what happens on Monday. They better have a response. They typically will elevate the quarterback coach, who in this case is Mike Sullivan, and that's what they did with him beforehand. So we'll see. But, yeah, they got to get more not only creative, but they have to be better at the execution game than they were. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the call. We're going to go out to Greensburg next. We have Walt on the line. What's up, Walt?
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Just great. How are you today?
Good. Hey, congrats on the new addition to your family again.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Walt.
Very special.
Yes, yep. It is.
Listen, I'm
Futures Masters champ in 2043, by the way. That's what I'm predicting. When he's 21, he'll win the Masters.
Okay.
That's what I'm hoping for anyway.
Great. I'm going to elaborate on the Shelton moves, and I have an idea, but it's a hole-in-one idea and probably not going to agree with it, but here's what I see. Keller is in a contract, and I believe that Nutting has said something to Shelton about not expanding his resume. And I'll tell you why. Last year when Brian Reynolds was up for contract, he had an 18-game hitting streak, and Shelton paused him that day, but pinch hit him in the eighth inning, and he lost the thing.
But Walt, let me ask you something. What did he do? What are you specifically referring to? He was in position to get the win the other night. You talking about the other night when they took him out after eight innings?
Yeah, complete games. It's like 20 years or something. I heard, what's his name, say it's been 20 years
I can tell
somebody's done that.
I can tell you firsthand that's not the case. That's not the reason they do it. And if it is, it's the wrong thing to do, certainly. You don't want to, you know, I thought the guy was moving along and he wanted to win the game. He brought Bednar in. He's one of the best in the game at doing that. The problem was he had 30 pitches the night before, which you knew then was going to make him unavailable for Friday. So that's what I'm more concerned with. But, Walt, I hear you. I appreciate the call. I got to move along. Let's go out to Joe in West Pittsburgh. Actually, East Pittsburgh. Joe, you're somewhere in Pittsburgh. What's up?
I'm in East Pittsburgh. How you doing, Bob?
Good, thanks.
And anyway, Is there any way we can get a manager from the Philadelphia Phillies for the Pirates?
Well, no. I mean, they've already pretty much said that Shelton signed. He's bringing back the coaches he has. I think they've made that fairly clear. So no. I mean, we can you can talk about this all you want, but if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, and we're kind of wasting our time. You can criticize him because there are a lot of things to be criticized. I think with every manager. And he's given you some of that this week. But that's part of the game. He knows that.
I just don't like that we're losing against a team that we should be beating, which was, who was it last night?
First of all, the Yankees. And thanks for the call, Joe. The Yankees are not the kind of team that you would expect to beat all day. They have a massive payroll. They've been the people in New York should be mad about both of their baseball teams because they spent a lot of money and they got zero return for it. Ryan in New Jersey. What's going on, Ryan? Thanks for calling.
Bob, the people in New York are livid, but they've given up already. So now they have nothing to believe in.
By the way, what's the feel about the Zach Wilson? Because I think they should just go with him. Everybody's trying to throw all these old timers in there. Come on.
Well, I don't agree with getting Matt Ryan or anybody off the scrap heap. But I mean, what's the guy from San Diego, Phil Rivers? What's he up to these days? Zach Wilson stinks. So
he didn't stink, Ryan. I saw him here in the fourth quarter. He carved up the Steelers in a win last week. I think there's potential there, and they drafted him second. Why not use him?
I was going to get to that because I don't think that's a very good team he beat last year. Because remember last week I said happy end of hyperbole? Boy, I'd go for a little hyperbole right now because I don't know if it's Pickett, Canada, Tomlin, all of them. But I was actually calling just to talk about college real quick, but since the Steelers came up. Canada, I think Steve Smith said he's running a Saturday offense. He's running a Saturday offense against a really bad team like Oklahoma against Wichita State. He's probably running a Friday offense. They've broken it down all week how terrible those plays look. They are awful. So if he's not the guy to get blamed, I don't know. Art better pay attention and do something here because they locked in on him because they beat bad teams down the stretch. That is not going to end well this year. And they're wasting Pickett, and that was what I was wondering since he had happy feet, and he looked, frankly, scared in the pocket, even though he did have a little bit of time. I mean, there was a lot of guys moving around. But I was wondering about the economics of football because he got dinged a couple times last year. And you know these guys, in order to be set and to make money, they got to get to the second contract. Quarterbacks get a third contract. Nobody else does. So I'm wondering if deep down, nobody would ever admit it in the back of your head, you're wondering about, I got to stay on the field because these guys cannot get crushed and they can't have a bad offensive line serving them up to 320-pound, 4'6 defensive ends. Like that, I was wondering because I watched him and he literally was shuffling his feet. Like he was like a middle school kid who felt pressure.
Yeah, it's exactly the opposite of what we've seen to make you think. Because I thought this year, and it still could be. I'm not going to totally overreact to one game.
There's a lot of time left.
But yeah, but thanks for the call, Ryan. But I get what you're saying. I mean, that was a discouraging performance. Real quick, Jim in Wilkinsburg will round it out. Paul Alexander will be up next. He'll take more of your calls all the way to 4:30. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, thanks, Bob, for taking my call. I just want to go back to what the other caller was saying about Shelton. I'm not going to waste anybody's time, but you need somebody to manage these guys who know what you're doing. This guy, he's way over his head. He doesn't make the right moves. He's not utilizing any of his players. We got some good young players on his team, but
who is he not utilizing? They've gotten just.
I mean, what I'm saying is not utilizing. It's just like the one caller said. You put Frazier at second base for 15, 18 games. He turned into a major league ball player. Who do we have that we can? He's not experimenting with any of these guys.
Well, listen, and Jim, I get it. I guess your frustration, and I totally understand it because it's been years and years. Thanks for the call as I round out this hour heading into Paul's show. But if you look at the start and if you look at the last 50 games, there was a lot to be encouraged there. The middle part of the season fell apart. There were a lot of reasons for that. Massive slumps by people you count on. But I will say this. I think they've made strides a little slower than I would have liked. There was progress this year. I wonder if Cruz had been healthy all year, what that would have meant to them. I wonder if Vasquez had been healthy all year, what it would have meant to them. But I'm not willing to just go and totally change everything right now. What I am willing to do is bring out a hot seat next year for everyone. It's time. It's time that they take this and win. They got to be competitive. My expectation next year for them would be minimum. You be in the wild card hunt all the way until October the 1st. You have to be. Look at this National League right now. Look how many teams. Five teams vying for the final wild card, and all of them have records that are just average. If you're not in that conversation, then things should change. And I think they have some people now. They got to go out, and Nuttings need to invest in it. They have to spend money in this offseason to add to whatever they have here with the youth of this team. We're out of time here. I want to tell you real quick, I like games tomorrow. I got people on Twitter asking me what. First of all, I like the Browns and the Steelers. I think that's going to be a tough game all the way to end. I got to go with the Steelers only because they're desperate. They have to win this game, and I got to believe they're going to pull something out here. I'm not a believer in Deshaun Watson whatsoever. I think Cincinnati is going to rout Baltimore. I think Joe Burrow is going to come out and atone for what you saw last week. I think Baltimore has too many injuries in their defense to stop him completely. And I also like two other games. I like Seattle to go to Detroit and beat the Lions. Lions come back down to earth, Paul Alexander. They're coming down to earth, and Seattle's going to do it. Geno Smith's going to have a big day. And I like the San Francisco 49ers to lose at the Rams. I think Matt Stafford's going to have a day. That's going to wrap up my show. You can comment on that. Call whatever you want. 412-928-9370. Mike Tomlin Show tonight, 11:35. Tomorrow, it's the number one Cochran Sports Showdown. I'm out of time. Thank you very much to Joel Nelson for everything. And I want to also mention this. PetFest 23, presented by Subaru, is coming to Stage AE October the 28th. If you have a pet or just love them, this is the perfect event for you and your four-legged buddy. PetFest will feature photos from Santa, training demonstrations, grooming, costume contests, shelter adoptions, vendor booths, and more. For ticket information, visit 937thefan.com. Pet Fest is presented by Subaru and brought to you by The Dog Stop, AARP, Bully Max, and the Salvation Army. Paul Alexander, I know you'd rather be on a golf course like me, but you're here. You're going to have 1 to 4:30 with Paul. Give him a call at 412-928-9370. Thank you to Joel Nelson. That's going to do it for me. I'll see you later today in Pit Preview, where Paul Zeiss and Doran Dickerson join me on the Backyard Brawl, year number 2 since its return from Morgantown. Have a good day, everyone. Paul is next.